Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my husband, Miko Alon.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for listening. We have a great show in store for you today. We will be tasting some products by Amy's. We're going to be tasting her vegan mac and cheese and also her vegan lasagna later in the show. And since it's a frozen product that you can throw really quickly in the microwave or the oven, I'm also going to be reading from a new blog by my coworker Sarah, 7 Tips for Eating Vegan When You Have Almost No Time. That should be useful. We'll also be doing, obviously, vegan animal rights news. And, of course, talking a little bit about politics and also what we've been up to the last couple weeks since we've been off the air. It's not really the air. We record it, but you know what I mean. And, okay, so if you want to catch up with us, if this is the first time you're ever listening, during the week, you want us to talk about specific things, you have questions, whatever, we are both extremely active on Twitter. I am at Vegan Ari, and Miko is at Miko Alon. Miko, you're still not verified on Twitter.
I know. I find this very baffling.
I don't know what's going on over there. You're a very important person. I don't know why they're not verifying you. And if you like the show and you like, you know, what you're listening to, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. We would love positive reviews, not negative reviews, positive reviews. Speaking of reviews in iTunes, Miko, okay, Veg News put out its, you know, like they do every year, this like big thing that's like, you know, our favorite, restaurant of the year, our favorite vegan city of the year. And one of them is podcast. And we are not listed.
Obviously, accidental omission, I'm sure.
I can't imagine why Veg News didn't include our podcast, but that's fine. I mean, I get it. There's a lot of people who have been doing this longer than us. So, you know, but I mean,
we're still the most entertaining vegan podcast. Just saying.
If we do say so ourselves, but maybe next year.
Let's start a lobbying campaign with the Vegan Ari Show hashtag.
I'd love to be able to tell our listeners, hey, vote for us in the Veg News poll, but we're not in there. But you know what? You can write us in. I think you can write in things. So take the poll and write us in. I like Veg News magazine. It's one of my favorite magazines. And Veg News, if you're listening, it was very shady. No, I'm just kidding. If you're listening, include us next year.
Or we'll cancel our subscription.
No, just we won't. Kidding. We won't. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about, we have a lot of things to talk about. First of all, as listeners know, we were not here last week. We were back in New Jersey. I was visiting family with Miko, and I hadn't been back in about a year. It was good. It was a good trip.
It's very nice.
I'm always, you know, so excited to see how much has changed in terms of veganism. Our two cats are fighting.
Are they playing or fighting? They're playing.
Well, Minnie looks like he's angry. The ears are back. All right. I'm going to ignore that and continue with the segment. Okay. Oh, my God. All right. I'm always excited when I go back home to see how much things have changed in terms of veganism. And what I mean by that is, first thing is that in my hometown in Margate, New Jersey, which is a small seaside town just outside of Atlantic City, you know, I went vegan 10 years ago when I would go home, the local supermarket didn't even have soy milk in it, let alone whatever. Now, there's a restaurant space that used to be a burger joint growing up called Stewart's. Now, it's a vegan restaurant called Greens and Grains. My hometown has a vegan restaurant now. I never thought that would happen. Like 10 years ago, if you asked me, hey, is Margate going to have a vegan restaurant? I would have been like, are you kidding? Like, no. I can't believe it.
And may I add that their Kale Caesar Buffalo Chicken Wrap was pretty damn good.
It was really good. And we took my parents there one night after dinner to get, they have like vegan ice cream and stuff. And my dad tried kombucha and that did not go over well. Now, he did not like it. I'm not saying that all vegans got to like kombucha because a lot of vegans don't like it. I happen to like it. But the flavor that he tasted, that could have been one of the reasons. It was called Banana Lavender. And I got to say, like, they got to stop flavoring shit with lavender. Like, lavender smells beautiful and it's a beautiful flower and whatever. But, like, I don't want to eat lavender.
Yeah, it's like when people make rose-flavored ice cream. Stop it.
Yeah, although rose-flavored desserts is very popular in Indian cuisine.
They should stop it.
But I don't like it either. I didn't grow up eating it. That's probably why I don't like it. But yeah, lavender and stuff too, I'm just not a fan. It could have been why you didn't like it, or it could have been the fact that, let's be real, like, kombucha tastes like you're drinking vinegar. And not everybody, I don't know. I think it tastes kombucha to me kind of tastes like beer, but it's also kind of more like sour than beer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's like vinegar beer. And I like
that's
it.
That's a great endorsement.
So there you go. Beer. And I don't even know if I believe all the health claims. Like, all these people that are like, oh, like, kombucha is so good for you. It's got, like, these probiotics and all. I don't know if I believe all that shit. But I do like it, and I will continue to drink it. So anyway, that's why we weren't here last week. In the meantime, though, lots has gone on. Specifically, I'm talking about our president. And two things that I want to mention, and then we can move on from that, because let's just be real. It's like, the planet's on fire. The whole thing is a mess. But there are two specific things. The first thing was, while we were away, Donald Trump made this announcement via Twitter that if you are transgender and in the military, that you would not be allowed to serve anymore. And that, of course, you know, if you were transgender, you couldn't enter the military. And this set off a whole bunch of, I don't think there's one person besides maybe that lunatic, I forget, was it Inhofe or one of them that was for it? But, like, honestly, you had so many Republicans saying that this was a major overstep. You had the Pentagon itself saying this was an overstep. And I just have to say, you know, we talked about the price of transgender people serving in the military and how it was so expensive, and then of course it came out that, like, they spend more money on a million other things and, you know, than transgender people. But I have to say, I can't think of anything more insulting than being someone who is willing to give their life for the country, who's willing to put themselves in front of, you know, in harm's way, and then being told, no, we're not going to allow you to do that because of who you are. That is just so, it's so disgusting to me. It's so undignified. It shows a complete lack of respect. It is absolutely one of the most insulting things I've ever heard.
And let's add a little bit to that. It's also coming from a complete coward who himself skirted military service on 5-6 separate occasions, you know, claiming he had bone spurs or some bullshit, as a rich kid trying to evade the draft in Vietnam. So a man who never served is now telling actually patriotic Americans who are serving, oh, you can't be there. He also lied about saying, oh, I consulted my generals and my national security team. Came out, he didn't talk to anyone. This is a part of the truly devil's bargain that the religious right in this country did in supporting this pussy-grabbing embarrassment for president. You know, he promised them that he would try to push their agenda, and of course, the religious right in this country, beyond hating women having rights, their greatest cause is to ensure that LGBTQ Americans don't have rights. And it's really just Trump trying to give them payback for the support, which, again, you know, is there anything more catastrophically embarrassing than Trump and the religious right together? I can't even say.
Well, I got to say, I think that their support of Donald Trump, if nothing else, highlights their total hypocrisy, how they would prop up a man who brags about sexually assaulting women, who constantly lies, who is a serial adulterer. I mean, I don't know what. Bill Maher had a guy on last night who's some from crazy,
Ralph Breed,
Christian organization. And, like, you know, Bill Maher, like, put the question to him. He was like, you know, what is it in this man that you even see as being Christ-like? And look, I'm not a studier of Christ. I'm not religious at all. I have to say, like, I don't know what someone who was a Christian would find so Christian about Donald Trump. He seems like the opposite of that.
First of all, this same kind of blatant hypocrisy has been, I mean, the fact that people think of the religious right as devout Christians is kind of embarrassing, because their morals are completely subject to backflip at the slightest indication. Take a moment to remember how they demonized gay marriage. Oh my God, this will destroy marriage. It cheapens the institution. These people have never had anything to say about the fact that strangers can marry strangers in Vegas without ever knowing each other.
On TV shows.
Yeah, on TV shows for money. I mean, they are just completely morally bankrupt and have been for an enormously long time.
It's such a fucking joke.
And they're not Christians. All they do is promote their own hate and bigotry. You know, I did my Abitur examination in Finland on two subjects, religion and psychology. So I can actually, having gone through Bible study in the Finnish school system, I can speak to this issue with some authority. I can tell you Jesus didn't preach hate against anyone, except perhaps, you know, bankers and the rich people. But that's a separate story.
And then other
not really hate, criticism.
And then the other thing that happened, which I thought was hilarious, was that the guy who he had as his communications director, the mooch,
he, that fucking lunatic.
He left after 11 days. I mean, I was joking. I said, you know, the factory farming industry has a like 100% turnover rate in terms of employees. I mean, I think there are factory farm employees at work. I think some of our investigators work longer than the mooch worked for the Trump administration.
Look at the amount of people who have been reassigned or have left. And then when people talk about the White House being in chaos, and Trump says, there's no chaos. There's no chaos.
Oh, there's chaos.
Yeah. Who are you going to believe? Me or your fucking eyes?
Right. No, there's chaos. All right. What a fucking mess. Oh, my God. Well, those were the two stories that really caught my attention. I mean, there's a million other things going on, too, but those were the ones. I mean, also, I believe this happened while we were away, that they failed at repealing Obamacare.
That's right.
That's a huge story, too. I don't know why I didn't have, but yeah, I mean, that was huge. And obviously, there was John McCain, and then there were two other senators, both women, one from Alaska, and where was the other one from? I don't know. Anyway, the three of them essentially saved our country.
And the Democratic Party. I mean, they were literally like, they joined the Democrats in opposing this insanity. There was a great column today in the New York Times from Paul Krugman about why Obamacare survived. And the truth is, it survived because it works. And that realizing the batshit plans that had been proposed by the Republicans, the actual people who had to vote on it were like, oh, if we do that, we're going to basically lose our chances for re-election. Because the Obamacare does work for most people.
Do me a favor. While we're talking, will you Google the names of those two senators? Because for our, you know, dozen listeners, I want to give them credit because they were really the ones who were credited for saving it. I know John McCain got all of this praise for it, but I want to mention them by name. I just don't know them because they're not as well known as John McCain, but they should be. And yeah, I think the reason why the repeal of Obamacare failed was because I think once...
It was Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska.
Well done. Well done. I think the reason why the repeal failed is because I think once people realized what a repeal meant, that millions of people were going to lose their health insurance and the people were going to be left out in the cold to die... Even people that voted for Donald Trump, I think, were like, oh, no, we don't want that. And especially, like, what's so pathetic is that they had years and years and years to come up with another plan to replace it, and they couldn't even do that. I think this boils down to one thing. Maybe this is a controversial opinion, but I don't give a shit. I think this boils down to racism. I think
absolutely
there are a lot of people in Congress who just hate the fact that this is Obama's legacy and they wanted to undo his legacy. And I think that a lot of that stems from racism. I think a lot of them hated him because he was our first black president. I'm sorry, that's what I think. And I think that they wanted to destroy his legacy by repealing Obamacare. They obviously had no fucking plan in place, at least nothing that they could all agree on what they were going to replace it with. They just thought we were going to, you know, this was going to be their fuck you to Obama. And guess what? It didn't work. So fuck them. And I think the American people really spoke out. A lot of people made phone calls. A lot of people demonstrated. This was a win for the American public. Minnie's meowing.
Minnie agrees.
Yeah, Minnie's excited about this. All right. So Couple other things that I wanted to talk about. We've seen a couple movies since we last spoke to you guys. The first one that I have to give a shout out to, this has nothing to do with animal rights, okay? This just has to do with it being fucking amazing, is we saw Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron and James McAvoy, and I fucking loved this movie.
That was an A+.
It was an A+. Okay, the plot, I get it. Like, you know, it's not a perfect plot, whatever. But it was such a... Oh, God. Now, all right, you guys, we're doing the show. I need you to clean it up. Come on. They're, like, fighting. They're yelling. The two cats. You guys, you don't know what we deal with. Yeah. Bye-bye. My God, what is their problem right now? Talking about Atomic Blonde. All right. Okay. It was so stylized. The movie takes place in 1989. And I am a child of the 80s. The music, the wardrobe, I mean, the action sequences were amazing. Charlize Theron is a sex bomb. I loved the whole thing from start to finish. I thought it was amazing. There were so many times where she was like wearing, oh my God, she kept wearing very like flash dance, like these like sweater dresses that were like off the shoulder. And I was like, why am I not wearing that like right now? Like, I just loved it. I recommend it. Go see it. It is so much fun. I was a little drunk when I saw it. I recommend a drink before. Like I said, you will have the best time. What did you think?
I loved it also. And there's something interesting about, you know, I think there's a handful of movies that I've seen where in the first 5 minutes, I almost pause and go, I can't believe how much I love this movie. And it's only been 5 minutes.
I loved it. And it's also great to see a strong female-driven film with an actress over 40.
Indeed.
Charlize Theron is, I think she's 41 or 42 years old. She did all her own stunts. It's amazing. She's unbelievable. She's fabulous. So go see it. Okay, the other film that we saw, we actually just saw it today, was the documentary An Inconvenient Sequel. This is Al Gore's follow-up to, what was it called?
An Inconvenient Truth.
Right, okay. An Inconvenient Truth was made in 2006. This is more than 10 years later. What did you think?
I must tell you that I love this movie also. You know, there are things that I wish it had included, but what it does include, it does incredibly well. I thought it was riveting, at times horrifying, at times enraging. But ultimately, what I found surprising is that it is quite inspiring and hopeful in the end about where we could still go. But some of the stuff that you see about, you know, superstorms that happened between when An Inconvenient Truth premiered and now is horrifying to see, as is the state of glaciers in Greenland, which you would not think is riveting to watch, but you just watch it with your, you know, mouth, you know, open, like, holy shit.
I mean, I liked it, but I also felt like he didn't give us anything to do. I mean, he does say, like, vote for, you know,
politicians. I think there's a very clear message implicit in the film.
We're fucked.
No.
That's the message.
The message is, if you want to do something, for God's sake, stop voting Republican. Because one of the things that the film goes into are the efforts that have been made by our government to curb climate change, to study climate change, have usually been, as soon as Republicans come into power, they try to reverse them, repeal them. And that has happened both when George W. Bush became president and now with this orange fucking idiot who does the bidding of the religious right and corporations and the fossil fuel industry and Vladimir Putin. It's just unbelievable when you see the peril and planetary emergency that we face to watch this fucking imbecile say...
Yeah, I mean, the film obviously does include Donald Trump in it. It's very critical. I mean, Donald Trump pulled us out of the Paris Accords, which was a big letdown for the whole planet. I was going to say for environmentalists, but really the whole planet. I do think that Al Gore...
I just have to pause here and say, how does someone become so catastrophically stupid as Donald Trump? It has to be a willful choice.
What about all the fucking stupid people who voted for him?
Well, there you
all
go.
All right, okay, yeah, so...
You said yesterday, was it yesterday?
What?
That the real deepest problem on Earth among people isn't evil, it's stupidity.
It's true. The problem with the world isn't evil, it's stupid. That's true. But I think that I don't know if he's coming out so much against Republicans. I mean, he does that whole thing at the end with that Republican mayor from this very conservative town in Texas. And he says, like, you know, this guy says that they're going to be 100% renewable in a couple of years and whatever. I think he
does. But
that's
the exception in the Republican Party.
Right. No, and I'm not defending Republicans. I mean, their record on environmentalism is abysmal. But I will say, or I should say, in recent years is abysmal because
Nixon
started the EPA. So it's kind of they've definitely done a 180 from those days. But I will say that I think that he comes out strong. I mean, he says we have a democracy problem, and he talks about money in politics, and specifically, you know, what he's speaking to are billion-dollar oil industries, fossil fuel industries, buying and selling our politicians, buying and selling legislation. That is a big problem. The United States is, I believe, the second or third most polluting nation in the world. And if we don't lead on this issue, we're going to be really fucked. I also thought, you know, and this is just this is where I'm coming from. I thought he did it. Yes. I mean, fossil fuels are a major, major problem. Without a doubt, one of the leading causes of climate change. But meat production is right up there. And he doesn't mention that at all. And that's what I mean with not leaving us with anything that we can do. Like, tell people, you know, like, tell them that there are steps that we can all make in our lives. Like, you know, there was a, I'm going to get to it in the news section, but there was a study recently done that was reported in The Atlantic that said if all Americans just switched to beans instead of beef, that we would be where Obama wanted us to be by 2020. Just by switching, and that's eating all the other animal products, just by switching, you know, to beans. Imagine if the country had a major, major shift towards veganism, where we would be. And I feel that there's a real missed opportunity. I mean, he's Al Gore. He's vegan himself. He's like the father of fucking climate change. Say something.
I agree with that criticism, but I think the reason that a lot of climate change documentaries devote such an enormous amount of time talking about the fossil fuel industry is that the sad truth is if we don't solve the fossil fuel problem, nothing else is going to matter. Because if all the oil and natural gas that's still, you know, in the ground is used, we're going to face uncontrollable climate change.
It would still help.
Hold on. The target, the 2-degree target that people keep talking about probably will not be met. After that, the chances of us having runaway climate change is over 90%, only because the warming of the climate is obviously releasing all the methane from the Arctic. And we can, all the calculations about how bad things are going to get don't even include that. We know that once we cross 2 degrees, 3 degrees, Africa will cease to be a habitable continent. You know, all the film talks a lot about, you know, climate refugees and the catastrophic storms that have hit all over Asia. And those problems are going to be 1,000 times worse.
Well, some facts to consider since you brought up methane.
Okay, let me just say one more thing. Which is that because of that, you know, halting the use of fossil fuels is the most urgent problem. And you know that I agree with you. I absolutely wish to talk about veganism.
There's not, okay, fine, but there's the average person can't do anything about that.
They can stop voting Republican.
Miko, the average person can't control when they turn on the fucking light switch where that power comes from. Yes, some people can install solar panels and whatever, but let's be real. The vast majority of Americans can't do that. Okay, because of the expense, because they live in cities, because they live in apartments, whatever. And I'm saying, but going vegan is something that they could do.
And, I don't disagree with you.
And there are studies, many studies now, that show that going vegan cuts your carbon footprint in half. And if you want to talk about methane gas, yes, there is a lot of methane trapped in the Arctic. But you know where else methane comes from? Cow farts and cow burps. I know it sounds stupid, but that's the fucking truth. And methane, for the first 2 years that it's released in the environment, into the atmosphere, is 86 times more potent than CO2 in terms of global warming effects. Don't let people off easy. You need to say the fucking beef you're eating, the chicken you're eating, the eggs you're eating, they are all contributing to this crisis that we face. And to leave that out is a crime. I'm sorry. It is. I love Al Gore. I do. And I love the fact that he's vegan. But I think he should have hit that harder and left people with real shit that they could do.
I don't disagree with that.
Good. All right. Well, with that, let's get into some new vegan products.
Let's do it.
Yay, new vegan products. Okay, so today we are tasting two products by Amy's. I love Amy. These are in the frozen section. We are tasting her gluten-free and dairy-free vegetable lasagna. And we're also tasting her gluten-free and dairy-free rice mac and cheese. Obviously, both vegan, both non-GMO. These are things that you can throw really quickly in the microwave or the oven. Let's taste it first, and then we'll talk about it.
What do you want to try first?
The mac and cheese.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Oh, it tastes so good.
I would say that's very good.
I think that's delicious.
And
oh my God.
So
I think it tastes like Kraft mac and cheese.
It does. I would say this is one of these is like a single person serving though. So if you're cooking for more than one person, get two.
That's really good. And it's gluten free. All right. That's really good. All right. Let's taste the lasagna next. I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to get a big bite so I get all of the shit in here. All right. Let me hold on. Oh my God. Wait. Are you tasting it yet? I'm trying to get this. All right, hold on.
That's really
go.
Good.
Here we go.
Wow.
Damn, that's really good.
I have to say something here. This does not taste like you just microwaved the product.
No
that's
way.
That's really good.
This is like restaurant quality. I mean, for a frozen meal, this is really good. And this we did not buy at like Whole Foods or whatever. This was at our like just regular supermarket. They had this shit. Wow. So
in each of these, you microwave for 5 minutes and they're ready.
Wow. So the serving size on these are like, it's like just, you know, this is the serving. The lasagna has 320 calories. The mac and cheese 520. They're both loaded with protein. Lasagna has 9 grams and the mac and cheese has 8. Did I say grams? I don't know what the hell I'm just saying. I'm reading and I don't know. All right. Yeah. The lasagna has 9 grams of protein. The mac and cheese has 8 grams of protein. Wow. These are really good. I'm like, I was not expecting it to be this good. Miko ate the whole thing. I'm actually really pleasantly surprised by this.
These were both excellent. Wow.
I'm going to have a little bit more of the mac and cheese. So talk about it, Miko.
I don't know. I will say, you know, often when you buy, you know, microwavable meals, like when I was living in Texas, I used Vistro, that vegan meal delivery service. And I feel like their stuff was mostly quite good. There were a couple that I felt were like, eh. But they had a lot of really nice options, too. But I think that some of them kind of looked and tasted kind of like you just microwaved some stuff. This is not like that.
No, this is very, very good. And Miko, just like I said, Miko microwaved these and they're still really good. This is a great quick thing that you could pick up. You can bring it to work or like you just come home from work and you don't feel like cooking. This is like really quick and I think would be very satisfying. Wow. All right. And I'm going to go through. So since we're eating, you know, a frozen meal that you can pick up at the store, I thought I'd go through this blog that my coworker Sarah put together. It's called 7 Tips for Eating Vegan When You Have Almost No Time to Cook. Okay. Because let's be real, we're busy ladies. Okay, the first one, make a meal plan. Before you head to the grocery store, plan your meals for the next week or two. This is not only a time saver, but a great way to eat vegan on a budget. Okay. 2, cook in big batches. Consider, oh my God, I'm sorry. Consider doubling or tripling the recipes you prepare to make consider doubling or tripling the recipes you prepare to make the most of your time. Like a big pot of soup or pasta or chili. And then she said, you know, you can freeze them and use them later. That's true. Then she says, grab some fast food. So fast food chains that have vegan offerings. She points to the French toast sticks at Burger King, the vegan sliders at White Castle, the certified vegan menu at Taco Bell. Tip number 4, stock the basics. She said, make sure you always have some things in your kitchen, like canned beans, flour, peanut butter, tofu, grains, almond milk, etc. Use a crock pot or pressure cooker. She says slow cookers and pressure cookers are great for saving time in the kitchen. While pressure cookers reduce cooking time, crock pot recipes reduce the amount of babysitting a dish needs, freeing you to do other things. Six, try convenience foods. So I guess that would be like what we just did. She has Amy's on here. She said that, you know, Trader Joe's has a lot of options. So that's definitely something you could do. And seven, learn how to make a few simple meals. So she points to things like, she says even peanut butter and jelly, chickpea tuna salad, your own vegan bowl. Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's so much shit that you can grab at the supermarket that's like pre-cut or like, you know, whatever that you can just throw together. You can, one of the things that Miko and I do is we have a rice cooker and we always have rice made, so you can put that with whatever you eat. I think that you don't have to, like, I think maybe there is this misconception that people think that when you go vegan, you have to spend that much more time in the kitchen. You really don't. You just find a few things that you really like that, you know, don't take a lot of prep, and you're good to go. I wouldn't say we spend that long in the kitchen.
No, we tend to make relatively simple recipes. Like yesterday, we made the avocado pesto pasta from the Chloe Cuscarelli cookbook, and that takes 10 minutes tops to make.
But even today, like, I whipped up chickpea tuna salad, and I put it with, like, some, pre-cut cabbage that we got from Trader Joe's. I made, like, a little other salad on the side, like a green salad, and I just, you know, some chopped up romaine. The whole thing took me, like, 5 minutes. You know, like, you don't have to spend a lot of time. I mean, one of the things I used to do when you were in Texas is I would microwave a baked potato and load it up with, like, beans, and I would put like spinach with it and a little bit of salad dressing. It was delicious. Like there's definitely things you could do to reduce your time in the kitchen so that you don't have to feel like, oh God, now I have to come home from work and spend 2 hours cooking. Like you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, with that, let's get into some new vegan news, vegan animal rights news.
Okay.
Is that what I meant to say?
Yep.
Okay. Let's do it.
Bye.
Okay, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. Miko, am I fucking up this show?
No.
I feel like I'm fucking up, like I'm making a lot of mistakes and shit. And I'm not even going to go back and cut them out.
Okay.
I'm just going to leave them in. I think people should love me for me.
It's a live show.
It's not even live. It's pre-recorded, but I'm just going to leave them in.
No, but it's recorded live.
All right, well, let me get to the first story. Okay. This is a sad story. This is so fucking sad. There was a story that appeared on the New York Post that showed a bull in Spain committing suicide. This was because there is this fucking thing they do in Spain. It's kind of like bullfighting where they attach, it's almost like a wooden log to the head of a bull and they light it on fire. And the bull's like running around all freaking out. I don't know. They're fucking sick. And this bull got so freaked out that his head was on fire that he ran into a pole and killed himself. It's on video. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. And what makes it even more horrifying is that everyone around is like cheering and like this is like some celebratory thing. And it's like, what is wrong with people? Like, how am I a member of the same species as people who would do this to an innocent animal? Why would you light an animal's head on fire? What the hell is wrong with you?
We have a long way to go.
We have a long way to go. And fucking Spain, between this shit and the bullfighting. I mean, look, there ain't any place in the world that, you know, doesn't do horrible things to animals. But it's like, why Spain, just ban bullfighting, ban the shit. Please don't give me this bullshit that it's like cultural, that it's whatever. I don't want to hear the fucking excuses. You look at this and anybody with a heart knows that this is wrong. And by the way, there are a lot of people who live in Spain who also agree with me that this is horrifying. So don't tell me this is like, you know, defend it by saying it's your culture. Like, that is not a defense for animal cruelty. All right, next story. Jesus. This is from Washington State. I feel like we've talked about this before because this has come up. There was a press release by the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. State officials plan to kill members of a wolf pack to stop them that what they, you know, to stop them from doing what they would do naturally, which is hunt for food. And of course, this is because of ranching in the state that farmers there want to protect their animals that they're going to kill anyway. And they want to protect them from wolves getting to them. And it's just awful. And I want to just say that in 2013, this is from Wildlife Services. They killed more than 2 million wild animals, including bears, coyotes, wolves, foxes, and prairie dogs. And this is because ranchers feel like these animals threaten their cows, whatever. I just think this is absolutely horrifying. You know, in a lot of places in the country, wolves are just starting to come back. And then you have these fucking assholes going out and shooting them. And I think this is devastating.
Unconscionable.
It's disgusting. Leave the wolves alone. The wolves were there first. They are not encroaching on our territory. We're encroaching on their territory. We should respect them. And quite frankly, if people didn't eat this shit, we wouldn't even be talking about this right now. Devastating. And this is not about, like, you'll hear these ranchers say things like, we're protecting our animals. They're threatening our animals. Honey, if you really wanted to protect those animals, you wouldn't be then sending them to a slaughterhouse. You don't care. You care about your profits. You care about money. You care about the fact that if a wolf comes along and eats your cow, that's money out of your profit, your pocket. So don't fucking start that shit. Vegan Ari's calling you out. All right, next story. Oh, this is kind of amazing. Let me give some background on the story. So there's a lot of global trade with regards to animal products, with meat especially. And apparently the UK is going to be importing chicken meat from the United States. Well, people in the UK got wind of the fact that 97% of chicken meat in the United States is washed in chlorine. Yes, chlorine, as in like Clorox, like bleach. And they don't want that chicken on their supermarket shelves. They're upset about it. Now, this brings up the question, why are American meat producers washing chicken in bleach?
Why are they?
Because chicken farming and chicken slaughterhouses are so fucking filthy that the meat is contaminated with fecal matter and other bacteria like salmonella and other stuff. But it's mostly because they're trying to wash the fecal matter away from the chicken.
Remember how we have to do that with our veggie burgers and our, you know, produce?
No, I can't say I do.
Dip it in bleach to get rid of the fucking slaughterhouse remnants?
Yeah, no. I can't really say I do remember that. And I have to say, you know, this made me think, like when I was reading this story, it made me think how many times someone who's not vegan or vegetarian, when I talk about, you know, plant-based meat, they're like, you see this reaction where they're like, you know, really skeptical of it. They're like, oh my God, well, what do you mean? Like, what's in it? And I'm like, vegetables. I'm like, do you know what's in your animal-based meat? Shit. Fecal matter. Salmonella. E. coli. All that, like, you're skeptical.
I mean, these people literally are saying, I'm okay with shit in my food because
you're
I cook it. But it's still shit.
You're eating shit. Like, you're skeptical of my fucking chicken that's made from soy or pea protein or whatever, but you're willing to eat shit. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, come on. When you actually say it like that, you're like, by the way, is my jersey, I feel like whenever I go back to Jersey, I get a lot of...
A little bit, maybe.
Do I sound... You always say when I go home, like, my accent gets a little crazy.
Yeah, and if you raise your voice in an argument, not that it happens often, but yeah.
Uh-huh. But yeah, anyway, so our chicken's being fucking bathed in bleach. So if that's what you want, I don't know. Not to mention all the animal cruelty involved, so...
They should just call it in the supermarket, chicken with shit.
Yeah, or bleach chicken. Maybe Clorox should go into the meat industry. All right, next story.
I have an idea. You know how they do detergents and they say with, you know, Febreze or
whatever?
Yeah. They say with Clorox.
That's amazing. They should, Purdue should say like, you know, Purdue chicken, and then it should say with Clorox. Fucking ridiculous.
All right. That could be an MFA Instagram thing.
Next story. There was a report that we are now facing the largest dead zone ever in the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know if many people, I'm sure our listeners probably know about this dead zone, but there is a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico right where the Mississippi River lets out into the Gulf of Mexico. And the reason why there's a dead zone is because all of these toxic chemicals that are put into the Mississippi River that then get carried into the Gulf of Mexico, it creates algae blooms, it deprives the water of oxygen, a lot of marine life either die or they flee the area, and so you have a whole area of the Gulf of Mexico that's like basically void of life. Now, the reason why it's so bad this year specifically is because of meat production. Now, the dead zone has always been because of that. It's you know, a lot of the toxic chemicals that's used in meat production gets put into the Mississippi River. It's horrifying. Animal agriculture, it's the major source of the water pollution. And also the excrement, the shit, and agricultural runoff. That sucks. Another reason not to eat meat. You hear that, Al Gore? I mean, I know Al Gore doesn't eat meat, but you know, he should have mentioned the dead zone in the movie. Would have been so terrible? All right, next story. This is kind of like the wolf story. Thousands of wild horses in the middle part of the country. It looks like they're going to be killed for the same reasons, for ranchers. This was following an unsuccessful vote to end the prohibition on the USDA's inspection of horse meat. The House Appropriations Committee voted last week to pass an amendment that would authorize the culling, meaning killing, of thousands of wild horses and burros. There are about 67,000 horses that are this population that's being looked at, and only about 2,500 of those horses get adopted out each year. So we could be looking at tens of thousands of horses being shot to protect ranchers.
Unbelievable.
This is just, again, devastating. It's like, what's more of a symbol of, you know, the American, I don't know what you call it, heartland, frontier, whatever, than the horse? Wild horses. And we're killing them so people can eat fucking, you know, steak and burgers. All right. Next story. Oh, this is what I talked about earlier in the show. So this was in The Atlantic, that there was a study done about switching out, if all Americans switched out beef for beans. And so I'm just going to read this section. It said, recently, a team of scientists from Oregon State University, Bard College, and Loma Linda University calculated just what would happen if every American made one dietary change, substituting beans for beef. They found that if everyone were willing to do that, hypothetically, the U.S. could still come close to meeting its 2020 greenhouse gas emission goals pledged by President Obama in 2009.
Wow.
I mean, think about
it. That's a potent argument.
If everyone just switched out, you know, black bean burgers instead of hamburgers, how much good could be done? You hear that, Al Gore? Why isn't that in your movie? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to come back to it. I'm just saying. Why isn't that in the movie?
Well, why don't you tweet at both the show and
This is a very important study. And this is also something that, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think asking people to give up beef is so dramatic. Whatever. And then chicken. And then eggs. And then milk. And then fish. And not necessarily in that order. Give up all of it. All right, next story. Manchester, England, gets its first vegan junk food joint.
I'm already excited. Vegan, tell me more.
Vegan fast food eatery Zad's Kitchen opened this month in Manchester, England. The first of its kind, according to vegan authority, the Vegan Society. The menu at Zad's features vegan pizzas, burgers featuring smoky tempeh, and sides such as nuggets and cupcakes for dessert.
Nice.
This is from Veg News, but I'm bringing this up because one of my best friends in the world lives in Manchester. So if we ever go and visit her, we'll have to go to Zad's Kitchen.
Will do.
I already posted it on her Facebook page. Okay, next story. Ripple, the company that makes pea milk.
Oh, yeah.
Remember pea milk?
I remember
pea milk. We tasted pea milk on the show. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know how it is in coffee, but it tasted good. They are now coming up with creamy vegan half and half.
Oh.
Okay, so new product to look out for. Maybe in the new vegan product section. I think that's pretty cool. Well done, Ripple. The city of Toronto, in our neighbor to the north, Canada, is getting a two-story vegan pizzeria.
Hello.
I know. I brought this. I wanted to talk about this because of you. The place is called Virtuous Pie, and I believe they already have a location in it looks like Vancouver, but this is going to be like a huge...
When does it open?
I don't know. But, oh, late 2017.
Oh.
But this is going to be like a huge restaurant, and it's going to be all vegan pizzeria. So, I don't know. A trip to Toronto, maybe?
Yeah. Maybe cool. Next time we'll go to the festival.
I'd like to go to Canada. I have friends in Toronto. It's fun. Maybe we'll go to the Toronto Film Festival. That's really fun.
That's what I said.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how I missed that. Okay, next story. I thought I talked about this last time, but I don't think I did. This was amazing. James Cromwell. Please stop me if I talked about this.
I think you maybe talked about it now that I...
Did I talk about him going to SeaWorld?
No, I think he was arrested somewhere.
Yeah, he was arrested a couple weeks ago for... There was a whole fracking protest that he did in New York. Yeah. Then he actually had to go to jail for that. He, like, a week after that, shows up at SeaWorld in San Diego, literally, like, interrupted the Orca show and held a protest with PETA. And our friend Lisa Lange was there. I saw her get taken out in, like, handcuffs. And he was, like, shouting on, like, a bullhorn, talking about how it's, like, cruel and all this stuff. I mean, James Cromwell... And they Facebook lived it. This is how I found out about it. I was on Facebook, as I always am at work, because that's part of my job. And it like showed up in my Facebook Live. And I was like, oh my God, like James Cromwell is such a fucking badass. And he had like probably like 10 other activists with him. And they're like right in front of the thing. They're like, you know, it was amazing. And then they were out there for like maybe like 10 or 15 minutes. And then security came and like, you know, led them off and whatever. And they were arrested. But I thought it was totally badass.
But what are you being arrested for, can I ask? You bought a ticket. You're inside the park lawfully. For what are you arrested?
It says that he was arrested for trespassing. But like you said, if he bought the ticket, I mean, is he really trespassing?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he was in an area of the, you know, the place where they didn't want him to
where
be
only
and
the
disrupting.
People who,
I don't know.
Only the people who ran the hamburger stand last week are now marine biologists. That area.
Yeah, but I got to say, I have so much respect for James Cromwell. He puts himself out there so much, and he's just such a tireless activist. I mean, I've seen him do many. He joined us, Mercy for Animals, at a protest once of Walmart when we had our Walmart campaign. And I just have a lot of respect for him. I just think he's incredible. And I love watching him do this shit. So it was great. All right. Well, I think that was my last story. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So we've come to the end of another show. I want to thank you all so much for listening. Again, if you like what you're listening to, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you there. And remember, we are also both on Twitter. I am at Vegan Ari. Miko is at Miko Alon. So reach out to us on Twitter. Let us know if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. I also check the hashtag Vegan Ari Show, so you can use that too. And you can, like I said, reach out to us there. And if we don't hear from you, we'll talk to you again next week.
Bye, guys.
Have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye. All up in the blog, saying we met at the bar, when I don't even know who you are. Saying we up in your house, saying I'm up in your car. But you in L.A., and I'm out at your mains. I'm up in the A, you so lame. And no one here even mentions your name. It must be the weed, it must be the E. Cause you be popping, heard you get it popping.